Thank you very much. It's okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. It is a privilege and an honor to preach the Word of God here this morning in chapel. It's a joy, and I feel every time I get up here, I'm very thankful for the opportunity to just be a part of this college and be here. And I just count it a huge privilege and honor. Very humbling as well when you have men that you admire and that have been of an influence in your life just sitting around you while you preach the Word of God. And I'm very humbled to do so this morning. The book of Psalm chapter 1, if you would please. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. I want to share a thought that the Lord gave me. Just this week as I was traveling on the airplane, and my wife was witnessing to the gentleman next to us on the plane, and I was reading this chapter, and we were interrupted to help this gentleman in regards to salvation. And she was talking to him, and then she after witnessed to him, introduced me to him, and I was on her right, and I stopped. And when I came back to this passage after finishing witnessing to this gentleman, the Lord caught my attention in regards to this chapter in a way that He hadn't done it just a few minutes before, and I couldn't but take my pen out, and I started taking notes right away. And I was excited because we were landing and we only had a few minutes to go, so I just quickly wrote down the thoughts that were coming out, and as I sat down one of the evenings there, I got a chance to just put some thoughts together, and I hope it is a blessing to you. I was able to preach this message on Sunday morning in the Spanish ministry, and so I'm going to bring that to you this morning. Psalm chapter 1, we'll read this verse 1 through 6, and then I'll start the message here. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I want to share that from that word in verse 3, the Bible says, and he shall be like a tree planted. I want to share that, being planted. Let's go and say a word of prayer and ask God to bless us. Father, please help me, Lord, and help each and every one of us open our hearts to your word. Father, the student body receives so much from your word, good preaching, Lord. And Father, I know sometimes we can be hesitant and paying attention on purpose. But Father, please help us speak to our hearts this morning. I know I stand in a place, unless the Spirit of the Lord helps me, I can be of no help. And just use your message and be lifted, Lord. Be exalted in the hearts and minds of this student body, Lord, and even our hearts as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The truths revealed here in the book of Psalm are revealed in terms of the human experience. They have to do with our emotions, desires, and sufferings that we face in this life due to circumstances that sometimes are unavoidable in life. There are several prophetic psalms, as we find in the book of Psalms, and songs of David, and there's so much that the book of Psalms have to offer. Really has been a book of strong help to many Christians when they've gone through the valleys of life. In my personal life, when I go through a difficult time or I'm hurting, it seems that my hands take me to the book of Psalms. I need to glean from this book so many times. And as I was reading it there that afternoon on the plane, I couldn't help but to notice that word planted. Planted by the rivers of water. The Bible says rivers of water. The word rivers here implies streams of water. Current waters. Sometimes those streams are gentle. Sometimes those streams are rough. But these rivers come in different ways. Different winds, different trials, different doctrinal attacks and changes, temptations, conflicts that force us to dig deep in our faith and grab on with all our might. The difference, I believe, will be where we are planted. And that's what's going to make the difference in our life. I remember a time a pastor friend of mine said he went camping had a family camp with his church, and he had warned the people that the river that was there was could have strong currents underneath, and the rangers had given him warnings, and he said, listen, this is a safe section here. If you can go, swimming here, you'll be okay. They had set markers, and well, one of the early mornings of camp, some folks got the bright idea to beat the crowd and get out there in the river. And sure enough, not too long after that, someone came screaming to the pastor into the campsite and said, they're drowning. And of course, immediately the pastor dropped everything he was doing. They were in the middle of breakfast, and they ran with everything they had all the way across camp to get to the river. When they got there, he didn't think twice about it, and he just dove into the waters and tried saving as many as he could. There were several that had gotten caught in an undercurrent, and it was a deep hole underneath, and they were under the water. And he went in without a second thought and started grabbing one at a time and a couple men to help him as well. And then he had to try and save one of the men that jumped in there as well, because it was very strong current. And he was doing his best to try and save as many. And in his thought, he was telling me afterwards, he said, in my heart, I couldn't see myself going back home without everybody. I couldn't see myself going home and telling those families that I lost one of their loved ones. And he was just trying to do everything he could to rescue as many as he could. He says he finally got to the last one. He was just completely exhausted. Of course, all the adrenaline running through his body and then the run all the way across camp to get there. He was completely exhausted, fighting the current, trying to save those folks. He said when he thought he had finished, he realized his leg bumped into a young man that was underneath the water. And he said he dove back inside. And he grabbed this young man, and he was trying to bring him up. He was still conscious. He was trying to survive, and he was taking in a lot of water, and he was going and trying to fight his way up. So the preacher, my friend, grabbed him and tried to just push him up. And at this time, he didn't have the strength to swim back up himself. And he started realizing that I'm probably going to die right here. And all that crossed his mind was, I don't want to die with him. I want him to at least live. And so he did everything he could to try and raise him above water as he went under. He figured if someone can grab a hold of him, at least he'll make it. And as he was pushing up and he was going down deep, he said all of a sudden his foot hit a rock. And he said he fell on that rock and just enough to where he's already taken in water, and he realized this is my only chance. This is our only chance. And he took the young man down with him once again. And as far as he could, and he just pushed himself up on that rock, from that rock, all the way up. And he was able to push the young man up to where they were able to grab a hold of him. And as they grabbed a hold of him, they brought him up as well, and they obviously made it. But I think of that story as I think of this passage, and how had that rock not been in the right place, that my friend would have passed away, along with that young man probably. See, a lot in our Christian life, a lot will depend on where we stand. Where we stand. Notice the words in verse 1 there in chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh, notice the word walketh, not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You see, it comes down to where we stand, where we plant ourselves, where you stand, with whom you stand, where you sit, where you decide to grab hold of in your life. And what I want to share with you from Psalms is very simple truths, but I think they stand out to us from this chapter. Number one, if we're going to make it through those rivers of life that come to our life in different ways of pain and hurt and love lost, when we lose loved ones and it hurts our hearts so bad and we don't know what step to take, the next step and what's going to come in our life. And when we go through difficult trials as far as financial and we don't know where the help is going to come from and we're tempted to go and ask, but we know that's wrong and we're tempted to do things that maybe it will give us some kind of security. If we just do this, maybe if I get another job or maybe if I drop out of bus route and do this and we start trying to find ground where we can get a hold of, but it comes down to taking a stand, number one, in the Word of God. We need to plant ourselves in the Word of God. Notice there again in verse 3, it says, and he shall, so verse 2, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The Bible says in Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see, you have to plant yourself on the Word of God. The Bible is our lamp. It's not a big spotlight. It's not a chandelier. It's a lamp. It's a lantern. It's a way where we can just enough to take the next step. And when we plant our life on the Word of God, when we don't move and don't hesitate and don't sway from one side to the other and decide as Christians that no matter what happens in my life, I'm going to stand, I'm going to plant myself in the Word of God, then God will illuminate our way. God will help us through those streams of life that come and come quickly, and before you know it, we're drowning in them. But if we plant ourselves in the Word of God, we'll make it through. Notice in verse number 97, there in Psalm 119, verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. The Bible says there in verse 97, it says, oh, how I love thy law. I'm sorry, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Though through thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Notice in chapter 124, verse 1 through 4. Psalms 124, verse 1 through 4. It says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us. Notice, when men rose up against us. Then they had swallowed up us up quick, when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. You know, the difference will be in our life where we stand. See, men will come. Men will go. Challenges will come in our life. Temptations will come. The streams that the life presents in our life, things that come in our way, we're going to lose friends. We're going to lose people that once stood for the truth and once stood in the right path, and they're going to go away. And we're going to see even contemporaries, your friends that are going to leave this college one day and maybe go off to the left and do things that you would never imagine they'd do, doctrinally speaking, and it's going to break your heart. And you're going to wonder what's going on. But you know, the difference is going to be where you plant your feet. Where you stand, let it be the final authority in your life. Psalms 125, verse 1. Notice what the Bible says there. Psalms 125, verse 1. It says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Abideth forever. The Word of God must be our foundation. Peter said it best when he said, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." It's in his word that we must go forward. It is in his word that we must decide to stand and not waver and not move and decide to say, you know, as old-fashioned as it sounds, as simple as it sounds, and everybody's changing and everybody's going a different direction and everybody's doing this and this is what's in, I'm going to decide to stand in the word of God. I'm going to plant my feet there. The psalmist said it best when he said, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words." Joshua 1:8, please. Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8, please. Familiar passage. Joshua 1:8, please. The Bible says there in verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." We know that passage, and we understand it. But what God was telling Joshua, this is what's going to help you finish your course. This is what's going to help you fit into those shoes of Moses and continue forth with these people. If you meditate in the Word of God, if you take a stand and you plant yourself in the Word of God and you seek it every day, every morning and every evening, and you meditate. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24. Matthew 7:24. The Bible says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." The devil will attack your faith. The devil will attack your faith in the Word of God. It is in Genesis chapter 3 where he attacked the Word of God, and he put doubt in the Word of God in the heart and the mind of Eve. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy, if you'd go there with me, 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 3. The Bible says there, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." These are the times you and I live in. And there's a lot of folks, there's a lot of people, good people, that are leaving sound doctrine, that are changing what they believe, that are changing their convictions, they're changing what was taught to them. And Paul admonishes Timothy, don't let go of what's been taught to you. Don't despair. Don't let it go. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing that which was committed unto thee, keep the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. He's telling him, Timothy, if you're going to survive, if God's going to use you, you need to take a stand. You need to decide. You need to decide where you're going to be planted, and don't move from there. Stay, hold fast to the sound doctrine. Hold fast to that old path, and don't move. Don't waver. And that's what we need to make it. That's the difference between the man in the book of Psalms chapter 1. The blessed is the man that walketh not. This is the difference between this man and the other man. The Bible says in verse number 5, "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. So you have a difference. The man that standeth and the man that does not stand. It is where you plant your feet. Number two, we must plant ourselves in God's love. Notice in verse number 6 here in Psalm chapter 1. "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous." I love that the God knows the way of the righteous. He knows my struggles. He knows my pain. He knows when I suffer. He knows how I hurt. He knows when I'm confused. He understands me. He understands because he went through it. He was subject to the same. Thank God we serve a priest that knows our pain and suffereth. He knows our suffering. He understands and knoweth our way. John chapter 10, if you would please. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 14. John chapter 10, verse 14, the Bible says there, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Notice verse 27, there in the same chapter. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. You see, in Psalms 23, the Bible tells us that the Lord is our shepherd. And it's a beautiful psalm, but we have to understand that he's giving us the form of a shepherd. He's describing us his duty as a shepherd. He says that in verse 23, verse 1, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What a difference when we stand in God's love. What a difference when we stand in the word of God. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. God loves us in a way that the Bible says in Jeremiah 31:3, that God has loved us with an everlasting love. His love does not waver. It doesn't change. It doesn't cease. His love is eternal. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 teaches us how we must trust in his love. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Romans chapter 8, verse 35, the Bible says this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, here comes the rivers, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, the Bible says, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall ever able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to plant ourselves in the love of God. We need to root ourselves in the love of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible says, and come and preach, verse 17. The Bible says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in what? In love. You know, this thing of the ministry, this thing of the ministry, no one said it was going to be easy. It's supposed to be hard because we're serving a God that this world rejects and hates. And it's supposed to be difficult. It was difficult for him. It was difficult for his disciples. They impacted the world, but they lost most of them their head, their life for serving the Lord. And there's no room to put our trust and our focus in people, because people are going to fail us. People are going to hurt us. People that you love, people that you invest your life into, they're going to betray you. The Lord was betrayed. But the difference will be where we plant our life, where we plant our faith, and we need to plant it on God's love. He's always faithful. He's always true. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. His love is always there in the morning, at night, through the trials, through the good times. He's always constant in our life. And when you're constantly planting yourself in God's love, then you can endure the trials. Then you can endure the famine. Then you can endure the difficulties and not. You know, pansy out, and I quit, and I don't want to do this no more, and the bus ministry's too hard, and that visiting all day, and the bills, and the college bills, and it's too hard, I'm done with this. When you plant yourself in God's love, then we can endure. God is always faithful, even when others aren't. I can count on taking a knee and finding that God's love and feeling God's love in my life. Number three, we must be planted in the work of God. Notice there in Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Verse number 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, And whatsoever he, what's the next word? Shall prosper. Faith without works is dead, says James. John chapter 15, verse 1 through 5, the Bible tells us that if we're separated from him, that we can do nothing. That he desires for us to bear fruit. That he is glorified when we bear fruit, that we bear much fruit. God desires us to be Christians that bear fruit. And when we plant our life in the Word of God, when we plant our life in God's love, then and we plant our life in doing for God and getting busy for God in the work of God, then God can give us fruit that will remain and he will be glorified. John chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, and it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. You know what that tells me? That we need to stop operating in the flesh. We need to stop doing things and how we do things. And start inviting the Lord Jesus and get involved in our work. And what we do. Not knock one door without God's presence in our life. Not get out in the bus ministry. Not go visiting. Not teach that Sunday school class. Unless we look for God's presence in our life. Because this is his work. And I want to bear fruit. And this is God telling us that without me, you can do nothing. And we must be planted in his work. 1 Corinthians 15, 58, the Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And lastly, we must be planted in the house of God. Verse 5 in Psalms chapter 1, the Bible says there in verse 5, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Notice with me in Psalms 84:10. Psalms 84:10. Psalms 84:10. Psalms 84:10. The Bible says, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. Psalms 133. Psalms 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's a good thing to dwell together. It's a good thing to be in the house of God. It's a good thing to be in the congregation of the just. It's a good thing. No matter what this world says, no matter what the contemporary Christian of today says, that they don't need to go to church so often, that they don't need church to visit with God, that God can visit with them at home. No matter what this world says, it's a good thing to dwell together with the men. Psalms 134, the Bible says, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord that made heaven and earth. Bless thee out of Zion. Psalms 122, the Bible says, Psalm 122. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of where? Of the Lord. I was glad. We must plant ourselves in the house of God. 1 Timothy 3:15, the Bible says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. You see, so many times in our lives, as Brother Howes preached so amazingly so, when he preached that message on duty, sometimes the difference in my life has been, and I have to admit, where there's moments, Brother Douglas, that I've been discouraged, that I saw things that I wish I'd never seen in certain leaders and their lives, and it discouraged me as a young man. I saw pastors leaving the old paths. I saw pastors falling into sin. I saw so many things in my young life, and so many times I was discouraged. But the one thing that kept me going was the fact that there was bus kids waiting on me. The fact that there was a class waiting on me to teach. The fact that there was a choir that was waiting for there someone to come and direct them. The fact that somebody in church was needing for me to be present. And I have to admit, shamefully so, but it's the truth that it was because I planted my feet in the church. I planted my feet in the work of God. I planted my feet in God's love. And I planted my feet in the Word of God. That sometimes that was the difference. That I had to be committed. I had to go. Even the days that I didn't want to go forth. I wanted to quit. But the commitment was so great because I decided a long time ago that I was going to plant myself in the Word, in the house of God. And that's where you and I need to decide, just to plant ourselves in the house of God. I will not waver. I will not change the house of God. I love God. I want to be faithful to Him, and I want to serve Him forevermore. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house than thousands of years out of the will of God. Hey, there's no better place for you to then plant yourself in the house of God. Don't move. Don't change when you get married. Don't stop attending church. Don't stop soul winning. Even if you have people telling you soul winning doesn't work, the door-to-door knocking, it doesn't work. It still works, let me tell you. Plant yourself in the Word of God. Even when they tell you, hey, stop believing what you believe, and maybe you ought to try this music out, and maybe you ought to try dressing this way. Dress down in church, because that's going to be socially accepted. Hey, plant yourself in the Word of God. Father in heaven, bless the preaching of your Word. And help us, Father, to understand it and to accept it and to embrace the truths that you've spoken to our hearts.